Congregation, the text for this morning's hour sermon is especially from Luke 24, verse 27. Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So far, Jesus conversing with two men on their way to Emmaus. Three thoughts. The friends talking together. Secondly, Jesus explaining them. And in the third place, the friends listening. So Jesus conversing with two men on their way to Emmaus. Friends talking together. Jesus explaining them. And the friends listening. Congregation, young friends, boys, girls, rumors are going on in Jerusalem. The one said this, the other something else. The women, the Marys and the Johannas, they went to the grave, to the new sepulchre, and they found the stone rolled away. How is that possible? Who would do that? To roll the stone away. Someone died, was buried. Who's opening the grave? Who would do that? They're puzzled. And the story is that some of them also saw a vision of angels. Angels appearing. That's the story. And the angels said he had risen from the dead. How can that be? Impossible. So against our logical thoughts. They're puzzled. Rumors. And then some of the company, some of the men, have also gone to the grave and found it exactly as the women had said, the stone rolled away and the grave empty. And those two men traveling to Emmaus are talking about all those rumors. How is this possible? And behold, two of them, when the same day, to a village called Emmaus. They left the company of Jerusalem. They left the disciples. They turned the page. Go back to work. Back home. It's over. And still they could not let go yet. It was over. And they made the decision to go home. For whatever reason, they did not stay in Jerusalem. They were like Thomas. It's unbelief, questions, riddles, they can't solve them. Dark in their minds, sad on their faces. And they did not keep things to themselves. They had to talk about it. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that when they communed together and reasoned, you see that in verse 15? It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, they tried to make sense of it, they reasoned, they examined each other, it says in the original. What do you think? How is this possible? I don't understand this. We heard these sermons. We're so convinced this is the truth. We felt in our very hearts. We trusted he was the mighty one. And all this, how can that be? Can it be so deceitful? Can it be so mistaken? Was he a betrayer? He spoke the words of eternal life. They communed and reasoned it out together. They tried to get to grips with it. They tried to understand it. So two men talking deep about Christ, about spiritual life, and they bonded together. They're real friends together. What an example. Are you friends with your wife in this way? Are you children, your parents? Are you friends? Is this the bond? Talking together about those most important things, the one thing needful. Never talk about those things. Those are meaningful conversations. That's the most important thing in this life. Do we only talk about children and the farm and our health? Never talk about those things. But two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Build those relationships to be together, to seek those things from above where Christ is. I'm wondering if they prayed. They talked to each other, that's good. Did they pray also? They asked the Lord for advice, for guidance? I'm not sure. But they at least talked together about those things. Unbelief. It is the third day. Do they not clue in now? Third day, disciples, third day. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, but they're leaving, going home. Little hope. We trusted that he was the one redeeming Israel. We trusted, we believed, and we were so convinced. And now this, Cleopas, what do you think? And do we understand this? Remember how many sick people they healed? The lame and the blind, the possessed of devils. Was the Son of God. He spoke in parables, and they kept examining each other together, trying to come to grips with it, looking from every angle, connecting the dots, not understanding. And then a stranger joins them. When they communed, Jesus himself, he saw them. He knows them. He loves them. Jesus himself comes near and went with them. Unaware of the clothes of Jesus. They were so close and did not know. It's possible. Christ is so close, walking next to you, and you don't know it. Their eyes are holden that they should not know him. Their physical eyes are closed. And he said, what manner of communications are these? What are you talking about? You look so sad when you walk. And one of them, you know his name, Cleopas, answers, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Are you the only one not knowing? Everyone knows. Everyone is talking about it. Except you. And he said, what things? Of course he knew. But he wants to draw it out. He wants them to express themselves. He wants to hear it. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, was a prophet, mighty indeed in word. Mighty, with the power in his sermons, mighty in word and deed, before God and the people, and all the people. We were so impressed, we knew this was the power of God, the salvation, the words of eternal life. And they explain it, how the chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death. We trust that he was, he which would redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day. Explain it. They're talking. They are astounded. They're amazed, perplexed. Don't get it? What do we learn from this? A few things, a few lessons. It is possible that someone is a child of the Lord and yet terribly confused, mistaken in a few things, in darkness, no understanding of the truth yet in its depth, and yet love the Lord Jesus. Be careful in condemning people. He does not know anything about it because she does not know anything about it because the Lord knows the heart. It is possible to be terribly confused and yet be a child of the Lord. Don't condemn too easily. What else? Try to find such friends you can talk to. Friendship, build friendships, those friendships around the world. To have friends you can commune and reason with and talk about most of the things with. Seek those friends. What else? Don't only talk about what you have. Talk about what you're missing. As a young elder in Utrecht, I learned a lot from an older elder. I always went together with the house visitation. And two things I remember. He was a farmer, and he said, as a farmer in the springtime, after I have planted the seeds, sow the seeds, the grass, I go on my knees, my hands in the earth, the dirt, and try to find some seed germinating. And that's what we are coming for tonight as well. I'm just wondering, is it doing something, the word? And then in the hope to put people at ease, he would say, now we have not come to ask you what you have, how rich you are. Tell us how poor you are, what you're missing. Friends, you can talk to not about what you have, what you miss. I've missed this. I don't know what to do about this. I'm confused about this. Trying to be vulnerable at house visitation. Tell how poor you are, what you're missing, how unconverted you are, how blind you are. You don't understand. So, friends talking. Let's go to the next thought. Jesus explaining them. Then he said unto them, verse 25, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They said so much, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Lord Jesus began to speak a sermon, to deliver a sermon, not about one text, but many texts from the whole Old Testament, beginning from Moses and the prophets, in all the scriptures concerning himself. They did not know it was Jesus. But oh, did they listen? When he expounded from all the scriptures about himself, how he ought to have to suffer and to be delivered. Now we do not know exactly what text the Lord Jesus quoted. What he exactly said, we don't know. But we have an idea, right? Because he said, fools and slow of heart. And he said, ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So let me just tell you a little bit about what the Lord Jesus spoke about. He said, fools. You men, you just don't get it. You're so dark in your understanding, so mixed up, so perplexed, and that's your own fault. You are fools. You don't understand the Bible, the word of the Lord. It's so close to your hearts, are so close, you're so slow to believe, so slow to all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Was that not necessary, right? The Lord Jesus spoke about the necessity of the death of himself. So what text, for example? May I introduce you to a few texts from the Old Testament speaking about the Lord Jesus' death and necessity of paying the ransom? Awake, O sword, against the man that is my fellow, said the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, smite him, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. The Lord Jesus could have easily quoted this text. Smite the shepherd, slay him, smite him, let the shepherd be slain and the sheep scattered, but oh, the hand of the Lord upon the little ones. That was necessary. God's holy sword, the sword of his vengeance against his own son. Don't you get it, disciples? Men traveling to Emmaus, that sword was necessary to smite the shepherd. This is exactly what is happening now. But the Lord will turn his hand to the little ones. What about this? Psalm 90. About that necessity. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. The Lord Jesus explained to them something about the anger of God, that someone needed to die and pay the price. He explained it to them. Or from Daniel 9. It's everywhere. All the scriptures, beginning from most of the prophets, Daniel 9. And after 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. But the gospel, to smite the shepherd and the sheep going free. But about the blessing of the gospel, that he is cut off, but not for himself. That's the one I may preach also this morning. He wanted to be smitten. Want to be slain, want to die, want to be crucified, but not for himself, but for others, to save a people from their sins, not for himself, but for them. The wonder. Children, you know this text, right? For unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. No end. No end, disciples. There is no end to his governing end. It does not stop. He raised from the dead. He shall have no end. Or Psalm 16. From all the scriptures, the one text after another, he quoted. But there's one text, many texts from the Bible, expounded to them in all the scriptures. Therefore my heart is glad. And my glory, my soul rejoices, because my flesh shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That Holy One in the grave will not see corruption. He will rise from the dead. He's the Savior after all. Not only the prophet, priest, and king, he is the Son of God himself. See congregation. He's in the Bible, everywhere in the Bible. Search the scriptures. As I spoke before, search the scriptures. For in them, in those scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Every text is kind of a hard shelled nut. It's hard. But in that nut is Christ. He's everywhere to be found. If you would only have the eyes to see it. Christ, he has come to cancel, yes, to absorb the wrath of God, to make that payment for sin. He is the center of the Bible. In the very center of the Bible. Two texts very close to this from the Apostle Paul's sermons in Acts 28 and Acts 17. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded, the Apostle Paul expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. The whole day he was opening the Bible. Look at this page, look at that text, look at that chapter. And all the prophets and Moses concerning him. That was his work, to preach Christ for every text in the Bible. Acts 17, and Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them, reasoned out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and rise again from the dead. So Christ is the core, the heart of the Bible. Search the scriptures. Ask Lord to find him. But he is not only the heart of the scriptures. He is the heart of the universe. Of the universe. Who is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist, He's the head of the body, the church, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So you think of mountains and creation, world and his history, it's all about Christ. Through him and unto him are all things. He's the Son of God. Well, if he's the heart of the Scriptures, if he is. If he's the heart of the Scriptures and the heart of the universe, he must also be preeminent in our hearts. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. He is Christ. So the Lord Jesus spoke and spoke for a long time, opening the Scriptures, holding their eyes closed, and opening the Scriptures. Because if the Lord would have opened their eyes right away, they would not have paid attention anymore. But they need to know him from the Scriptures, from the Holy Book of God, that is the Lord's way. Not to teach people directly, but through the Scriptures. Faith is by hearing. See how important it is to read the Scriptures, to study them, to meditate upon them, to talk about them. And they were listening. Third thought. Listening to what? Oh, to the Word being opened. For hours, I suppose, that opened and they listened so attentively, they absorbed it. They heard it. They did not recognize him, but they heard about him. They did not know Christ was next to them, but he was close in a different sense. In the Scriptures, it made so much sense. Their eyes were opened. The spiritual eyes were opened, and they saw it, and they believed in it. Their hearts were burning, touched, comforted. How true it was what we read in Isaiah 50, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. So the Lord Jesus spoke to those weary souls, to those bruised reeds, about what? About their experiences, so they would say, oh, I have those same experiences. I have those same tears, those same texts, those same encouragements. No, the Lord Jesus spoke of himself. That is the solution for those weary ones, to hear about Christ, and their hearts are burning. This is the solution. They understood it. Jeremiah 15, thy words are found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah heard them, found them, ate them, rejoiced in them. Congregation and friends, parents, open that Bible to your children, for yourself, and study it and try to find him of whom the Holy Spirit testifies in all the Scriptures, from Moses to Revelation. He's there, that you may find him, that you may eat it, may be fed by it, have joy in it, rejoicing through it. That's all that counts. For that Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than if that sword piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joint and of the joints of the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Jesus spoke about Jesus, of himself, and the hearts are burning. Do you know about that? May I ask? Have your hearts been burning and touched under the preaching of Jesus Christ? Is that your joy? Sometimes sitting in church, nobody knows, but the inside your heart's burning, hearing about the only name given among men, he is given by whom we must be saved, and having a real humble rejoicing of the heart, feeling so foolish yourself, so slow to believe yourself, that the Lord takes the veil off, reveals himself in the scriptures to your soul. You know, those men were listening, and I tell you, they were not tired of it. They said, preach on, preach on, go, continue, continue. And he said, it's time now, I'm leaving. Can you please stay a little longer? And they constrained him. They did not know it was Jesus, but he spoke of Jesus. And they want to hear more of Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death and his resurrection. They want to hear more. It was not boring. They did not look at the watch, so to speak, kind of, is it not time yet? Come on, say amen. Let's be over. I want to go home. It's an hour and a half now. It's over. No, they said, can you continue on preaching? You know, they want to hear more of Christ Jesus. And they constrained him. Not enough. More of Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus revealed himself physically and opened their eyes. Then he was breaking the bread. He stayed with them indeed. He wants people to wrestle with him, to not let him go. Although they did not know it was Jesus, it was about Jesus, right? They were so desirous to know more about him. And that was blessed. And they saw him physically. They saw the prints in his hands. And they saw it is Jesus. Now, that is something the Lord does not give his church today anymore. No. In a spiritual sense, he opens the eyes of the understanding of the faith, but not to see him physically, right? Do you know any of God's children having seen him physically at the table? I don't. But yet they do. And they die. Because the body of the Lord Jesus in heaven ascended and died. And our dear brothers, 3 NSC ministers died in 1 week. And the minister's wife. Well, what will it be to be with Christ and to see him personally, who loved us, who paid the price for us, who began the work in us, out of whose hands nobody can pluck us, to be with him who is the beginning and the preeminence of all things, because through him and unto him are all things, and then to be absorbed by that sight and to always be with Christ, which is the best. Those men had a foretaste of that. The Lord Jesus vanished, right? And they went back to Jerusalem. In such a different sense, such different people. They looked so sad, so perplexed, so confused, and now they knew it. Through the scriptures, through Moses and the prophets, and were the happiest, most blessed people of the world. Seek that for yourself, for your children. seek the Lord. Seek to know your sins. Seek to know your needs. Seek to know your impossibilities, your unworthiness. And seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be lifted by Him, that helps for every situation. Seek Him and live. Holy baptism underlined it. It is only in Christ Jesus. There's no other name, no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. Seek Him and live. Amen. Almighty Lord, we despise Him. We don't want Him. There's no room in the hearts by nature for Him. And yet, Lord, make room for Him then in the hearts of many more. Give that emptiness, that perplexion, that confusion, but especially that feeling guilty. Oh, we are such fools, so much enemies of God and Christ. Oh, Lord, we ask Thee, make those things clear and cause people to hunger and to seek and to search and to read and to wrestle and to find and to rejoice in hearing about such a Savior who paid the price, the whole ransom, is now at the right hand of the Father, praying for the church and for them that must be converted. Lord, bring the simple message to the hearts, and the hearts of Thy children also may be burning today, hearing about their Savior, their Shepherd, who was smitten by the hand of God, and the Lord's hand turning to the little ones. Give it comfort, Lord. Remember the parents and the children baptized, grandparents, dear ones, also them with mixed feelings, would like to have a child, more children, them concerned about their children, children leaving the church, becoming atheists or something else, false doctrine involved maybe. Lord, we ask Thee, stand up, O Lord, arise, do wonders, that sinners also, prodigal sons and daughters, may rise from the dead. We would think, can be, it's not going to happen. And yes, the Lord says, all things are possible with Me. Lord, may we see it happening. This one, that one, born in Zion, brought back to Thy house and to the truth of the church. Grace, we forgive all the shortcomings. Be with us today. Give us this afternoon a little of that searching of the Scriptures. And save back home and also save back to church tonight. In Jesus' name alone, amen.